Good morning.
Good morning.
It is so wonderful to see all my church friends, to see my family, friends from my neighborhood, and even my fellow students. I'm so glad to be here to give you the message today. It is a real privilege. And it is wonderful to see all the red symbolizing United Methodists, united to serve. Is Jesus calling you? Just who is called? You heard the scripture, and I want to look at the first three verses again. And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they immediately, that word immediately, left their net and followed him. Now, what is Jesus saying to us? Is he saying, "Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?" And what are we saying back to him? Are we answering his call? Or are we like that old Fats Domino song that said, "I hear you knocking, but you can't come in"? Well, I accepted Jesus' call many, many years ago. But I had a hard time using the word called. I don't know whether any of you have that problem or not. I volunteered. I taught Sunday school, vacation Bible school. I worked on committees. I did when I was asked. I sometimes did when I wasn't asked. I worked in the community, and I always volunteered at my children's school. Well, many, many years ago, my daughter wanted to be a campfire girl. That's similar to Girl Scouts. And those who are my close friends here know that, well, they wanted me to help with the leadership. And those that really know me know that I'm not really a rough it campfire girl type. But they needed help, so I said, yes, I would be a leader. Well, the very first thing that I had to do was to go on an overnight campout training session. We pitched a tent on the side of a mountain in West Virginia. We cooked eggs in a bag. It was cold. It was rainy. And I sat in the tent and cried. Obviously, that was not really my calling. But we see again in Matthew 4:19, where Jesus says, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now, the call of Jesus is personal. He talked to the disciples one-on-one. He didn't call them as a group. He didn't even call them on the same day. He spoke to them individually. It's very personal. And my favorite hymn is "In the Garden." And the first part of that says, "I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And he walks with me, and he talks to me, and he tells me I am his own." The call is very, very personal. And his call is also powerful. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, it says, "For the message of the cross, for those who don't believe, is foolish. But for those of us who believe, it is the power of God." Those of us who have been saved, it is the power So Jesus' call is very powerful. And his call is so precious. Can you imagine being one of the very first disciples, having Jesus wash your feet, talking with him in person? His call is so precious. And in the book Transformed by Love, which is about the Song of Solomon, it says that the difference between the love of God and the love of man is man loves things or people because they're precious. God simply loves us. And because he loves us, that makes us precious. His call is also pricey. Remember, the disciples gave up everything to follow him. Now, he's not asking us to give up everything, but it may cost us. But the rewards are many, so it's well worth the price. And his call is private. No one knows what he's saying to us because he's talking directly to our heart. No one knows what's in our heart, what he's doing for us, because it's very private. But once we accept that call, we need to make it public, to take a stand for Jesus. And what better day than today with Sunday Serve to take that stand? If you haven't already signed up for one of the groups, you'll be welcome to join us. You can work in Stop Hunger Now, the prayer ministry, family life, the resource center, the music ministry. There are just so many ways that we can serve him collectively today, but we can also serve him every day in many, many ways. And then we read in 2 Timothy, and I'm not reading the whole scripture, but 2 Timothy, the first chapter, where it says that Jesus has saved us and called us. He has called each and every one of us to be a disciple. Now, if you look at your sermon notes, it says, what is a disciple? He commissions us to go. And the mission of the church is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. So we are called to be a disciple. And then on the sermon notes, it lists the characteristics of a disciple. And I'm sure there are many, but I want to talk about three of them. A disciple is a worshiper. One, you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You worship him exclusively, no other God. And we can worship, as we talked about earlier, in many, many ways. And one of the ways is to help out in our church. Back in the church that I grew up in, we had one church service in the morning and one at night. But we also had Sunday school on Sunday morning, and almost everyone attended Sunday school, the adults and the children. And before Sunday school, there was like an assembly. And when I was 12, 13 maybe, the superintendent of Sunday school said, I need you to play the piano this morning. And I said, fine. He said, well, I need you to play Holy, Holy, Holy. And I said, I can't play Holy, Holy, Holy. It has four sharps. And the musicians know what I'm talking about. And he said, but I really, really need you to play Holy, 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 because we're going to do silent prayer while you play that. And I based my entire message on that. So I stumbled through Holy, Holy, Holy. And when we broke to go to our individual classrooms, my girlfriend said, I couldn't even pray for trying to figure out what you were playing. (Laughter) there are many ways that we can worship him, and my intentions were good. A disciple is also a servant, serving God only. Jesus said, "Go and love one another as I have loved you." He commands us to do that. Doing what love demands transcends everything. And the third thing on the sermon notes is to witness. We are called to be on a mission. In the broad sense, we are all missionaries. Now, the definition of a disciple in the dictionary says it's a noun. It's one who adheres to the teaching of another, a follower. Now, sometimes we can follow the wrong person, and sometimes we get advice that's well-meant, but maybe not the right thing. And in the same church I was telling you about, it was a small church, maybe not as big as these two sections. And on the left and on the right and on each side in the back, they had a niche or niche, whatever you want to call it. But they had these little cutout places with doors across them. And my friends and I sat all the way in the back. We didn't have a balcony to go in. We sat all the way in the back, the one on the right. And every Sunday, this church would give the invitation to give your heart to Christ. And they would sing a hymn. And if no one came up, they kept on singing. And if someone did come up, they kept on singing. And I was one of the last ones in my group that had not done that. So every Sunday, my friend would say, "Go, go. All you have to do is walk up the aisle and shake his hand." Well, fortunately, I didn't heed that. I waited until I heard the call, Jesus calling me to give my heart to him. And I can see that day in my mind just as clearly as it was yesterday. I can see walking up that aisle. I can see about a week later being baptized by immersion. We didn't have robes, so I can even tell you what I had on. It was wonderful. It was so vivid. And it was 65 years ago. So when we answer his call, it is a wonderful thing. Now, when I was preparing this message, it made me think of something else. My younger brother, Richard, loved a Count Basie novelty song that was popular. And it said, "Open the door, Richard. Open the door and let me come in." I think that's what Jesus is saying to us. He's saying, "Open the door. Open the door and let me come in." But we have to do more than that. I want to take you back to the 70s, the late 70s. Some of you won't remember it, but some of you will. I was offered a really big promotion. In fact, I was offered the chance to be an officer of the company for which I worked. The catch was, I had to move from the suburbs of Washington, D.C. to St. Paul, Minnesota. So Gordon and I, that's my husband for those of you who don't know, we talked about it, and Gordon said he was able to move his business, and we felt it was a wonderful opportunity, so I accepted. Well, it was so rare, so unusual, so unheard of for a woman, a married woman, to be offered this type of position, that they sent a reporter from the Washington Post to interview us. And after he had asked all the standard questions and we were concluding the interview, he turned to Gordon and he said, I can't believe you're following her to Minnesota. And Gordon said, I'm not following her anywhere. I'm going with her. That's what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to follow him, to walk with him, to go with him, to be a witness. Now, most of the time, we are irritated by the billboards that we see, but there's one billboard that I just think is wonderful, and I don't see it anymore, but when you see this billboard, you'll know why. It says, I have big plans for you, God. In Luke 9:23, it again says, take up your cross and follow me. If we'll take up our cross, or his cross, and follow him, he has big plans for all of us. So we're going to stand and sing an old hymn, and we'll wait till the music gets up here, but it's softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. If we open that door and heed his call, we all will have big plans for us. Let's let him in.